This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you? How was Yom HaAtzmaut?
Boker Tov, we are finally 78 years and one day into Israel's existence, and we are back to work today, even though it is Thursday and it sort of feels like Sunday, but we're going into the weekend soon. What's interesting about things that happened in Israel is has been reflected also in the aftermath of the Yom HaAtzmaut celebrations and, of course, the beacon lighting ceremony that I described that took place at Mount Herzl. That was on Tuesday night. But one of the main talking points that has come out of that ceremony is a young soldier called Oren Mitsuyanim. She is a sergeant, she's in the permanent force, and she was a flag bearer at the ceremony on the stage at Mount Herzl on Tuesday evening, clearly photogenic because the cameras really picked her up. And within no time at all, she's become the talking point of the country, with everybody mentioning how well she looked, how good she looked in the cameras, and how she performed her duties. And there is already a lot written about her in the press. She's a lone soldier whose parents went to live outside of Israel. Israeli parents went to live outside. She returned back to complete her schooling and to serve in the army. A lot has been written about her and her background. And of course, agents have already contacted her to see if she can potentially become a somebody in the entertainment industry, because her picture has just been so widely spread. She's become an instant hero. I mean, and the social media obviously helps that a lot. And it reminds me a little bit of another similar incident that took place when Prime Minister Netanyahu, during the height of the most recent Iran war, was trying to prove that he is alive and well. And he had a little video clip done that showed him in a coffee shop ordering some coffee. And in the background was a young lady with a great smile, a barista in the coffee shop. The camera caught her momentarily, and she became an instant hit. Everybody wanted to know who she was. She obviously just caught the camera. The camera liked her very much, and she became an instant hit. And this young barista was propelled from nothing, serving coffee in a coffee shop, to somebody who was really being discussed up and down the country. And I suppose, in a way, it's also to deflect our attention away from some of the more controversial talking points, which there were many and are many. But without going into all those details, I'd also like to mention another Israeli who's caught a lot of attention. I have spoken about him before, but he's now become more higher profile, let's say, with the recent announcement that the Apple CEO is due to step down from his position at the beginning of September. And as a result of the changes that are about to take place in Apple, an Israeli man, Johnny Cerugi, is being propelled up the ladder within the Apple empire. Johnny Cerugi is an Arab Christian who was born in Haifa, who's educated at the Technion, who has a bachelor's degree and a master's degree from the Technion, who has been an employee with Apple for many years and has been responsible for building up Apple's technical development centers in Herzliya, which is the second biggest in the world, and also technical development centers in Haifa and most recently in Jerusalem. And now, as a result of John Cook's retirement as CEO, Johnny Tsarrouji is just about to become the second most powerful person in the Apple empire because he is being promoted to become head of chief hardware officer. That is his official role, and he will be succeeding John Ternus, who will become the new CEO of Apple on the 1st of September. And in his role as chief hardware officer, Johnny Tsarrouji will oversee hardware engineering for the iPhone, for the Apple Watch, for iPad, globally around the world. His background has been very much in chip technology. He was responsible for developing the Apple chip that is now used as the basis for most of Apple's hardware. So here's a man who has been immensely successful within the Apple empire, a proud Israeli, not Jewish. He's Arab Christian, not Jewish Israeli, speaks Hebrew perfectly, speaks Arabic perfectly, also speaks French and English. And he is going to become one of the most powerful men in the technology world when he picks up his role as chief hardware officer. We are proud of Johnny Tsarrouji.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely incredible that some of these stories. The U.S. is reported to have advised Israel that the ceasefire with Iran has been extended, this time until Sunday. What does this mean? What is really going on? Do we have any understanding?
Well, there are a lot of snippets coming out about what's driving this and what is being driven by this. And a few interesting points have come out. First of all, we know that another U.S. aircraft carrier is on its way to the CENTCOM area. This is the area which is the military set up within the U.S. Military that is controlling the war in Iran. And we understand that that ship will come into the CENTCOM area and will be available for potential conflict with Iran on Sunday. That may well be coincidental. That may not be the driver to the ceasefire being extended to Sunday. Maybe it's completely unrelated. But it does seem quite coincidental that those two dates come together in that way. The other point is that the official word from the U.S. administration is that they are waiting to try to receive some sort of a unified proposal from Iran. And by that, they refer to the different messages that are coming out from different parts of the Iranian regime, some of which are more inclined to head towards peace talks, others which are much more aggressive. But the Trump administration is saying, let's receive a unified proposal, whatever that might mean. And I don't know if such a beast really does exist within Iran right now, given the nature of the way in which they're the administration is operating. I'm not sure if a unified proposal will be received. There are some discussions, the possibility that peace talks may well be resumed early next week. So whether that's a way of the U.S. administration saying, we're done with this war, we want to almost go to peace talks at any price, I don't know if that really does exist. I mean, lots and lots of military threats coming out from President Trump. But in the background, he seems to be pushing very firmly towards ending the war and towards trying to propel peace talks almost at any cost. All of this obviously has a knock-on impact with Israel's activities in Lebanon. It also has an impact on our security setup that we have, because at the moment, our anti-missile systems remain in place and ready should the war with Iran resume. There is the continuation of the battle that's going on within the Straits of Hormuz. I saw a report that suggested that it may take as much as 6 months to clear all the mines that have been dropped in the Straits of Hormuz, which is a very, very frightening thing to think about, because all of those ships are clearly at risk. We know that at least two ships were yesterday taken over by the IRGC. They still clearly have naval capability within the Straits of Hormuz. There doesn't seem to be any attempt on the American part to neutralize their naval capability in the Straits of Hormuz. It might well be a scaled back naval capability. But some naval capability clearly exists because they are marshalling ships, they are taking over ships, they are attacking ships within the Straits of Hormuz. Of that, there is little doubt. And so, therefore, they clearly do have some naval capability, in spite of President Trump having claimed that the Iranian Navy is at the bottom of the sea. I think that there is a little kink within that discussion, because I think within Iran, they effectively operate as almost two separate entities within the Iranian regime. The IRGC almost operates independently from the rest of the Iranian military. And so when President Trump says the Navy is at the bottom of the sea, I think he's saying something which is correct and accurate for the regular Iranian Navy. But one thing that he doesn't refer to is that the IRGC have their own naval capabilities, which are separate from the Iranian Navy, which operate in parallel and potentially even in competition. And I'm not convinced, and I think that what we're seeing in the Straits of Hormuz is the operation of the IRGC naval capability rather than the regular Navy. So we have to understand all of these things and how Iran is structured and how their military operations are established in order to understand what's going on. There is also quite a lot that's been written about the ballistic missiles that remain still within Iran's capability. Many of them are underground and have been sealed away by Israeli and American bombing. They've stopped, they've effectively damaged the entrances and the exits to those underground bunkers. But we are now being told that the Iranians could quite quickly and quite easily reopen those entrances and those exits, and those could release something like 1,000 potential ballistic missiles that still remain underground, although not available immediately right now, but they could be released quite quickly. And the Iranians claim that they could return back to manufacturing ballistic missiles pretty quickly, even though much of the industry has been destroyed by Israel. So there's a lot of talk about what has been achieved and potentially what hasn't been achieved in this war. There is no doubt that a great deal has been achieved. But the question is how quickly Iran can return back to what it was. And I've said this a few times and I'll say it again, that if one of the two components of the previous regime or ballistic missiles remain available to Iran, I'm not sure that we've really achieved what we wanted to achieve. I think we want to either get rid of the regime or get rid of their ability to attack us, or both of them preferably. But right now it seems like the regime remains, and it seems like many of the ballistic missile capabilities also remain, and therefore, you know, one wonders what has been achieved.
Well, what I find a little odd is we obviously don't know a lot of the information because there has been no communication. The internet is completely shut down. But what surprises me is I would have thought that we would have still seen a lot of information coming through other means, through information that Israel would have, the United States would have. But there doesn't seem to be a specific campaign. We know that, and we can see an Iranian campaign about with misinformation, information, all sorts of things happening. But we don't see a campaign, and we don't see information coming through. And I'm perplexed as to why.
I think, Howard, we need to go back to the previous uprising where there was an attempt to overthrow the regime. And we need to put into context the fact that it now seems as if though more people were killed by the Iranian regime as a result of that uprising in a week or 10 days than all of the victims in the Gaza war over the last 2.5 years. I'm saying that again. There were more people killed in Iran within 10 days by the regime to put down that uprising than all of the victims of the Gaza war over 2.5 years. Now, we don't hear a great deal about people standing up and saying that's not okay for the regime to kill tens of thousands of people so rapidly. But it seems to me as if though it's quieting things down on the ground, that it's had the desired impact, that people are really afraid to come out and to respond to what's going on. I think that that action and the extreme cruelty that was used to put that demonstration down, that attempt to overthrow the regime, has really calm things down. And even the US and Israel's the impact of the work that Israel and the US have done militarily hasn't ignited or reignited that flame.
That is unfortunately where we do need to leave it. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a peaceful and wonderful weekend. And we'll catch you for the Israel Report Monday morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.